Thought I would conclude this series of lessons on pausing to think, or Selah, if you will. And I wanted to start in Isaiah chapter 44 and just touch on a verse we just concluded with last Sunday morning. But it's a passage that really kind of makes an impression on me as far as getting too serious about the physical things to the point where we can sometimes turn the physical into an idol. And so Isaiah 44, it starts out, the first 8 verses are about the faithful and about the blessings that God is going to give to them. And then it goes to the unfaithful very quickly in Isaiah 44, verse 9. And it essentially talks about the man who cuts down a tree, prepares a meal, warms himself with part of the wood, and then with the other part he fashions an idol, bows down to it, and says, "You're my God." Well, we look at that and we think, well, that's ridiculous. And of course, it is ridiculous. But how many times have we had something we really wanted, a physical something, and we turned it into an idol? There was a job we wanted, and now that job takes precedence over everything. Or there was a person that we wanted to be with, and then that person takes precedence over everything. Things that are not only good and fine in and of themselves, a job, a husband, a wife, or a relationship, but it's gone too far, and it's taken precedence over God. And I believe that's the connotation that we need to put on it. We're not going to cut down a tree and fashion an idol and bow down to it. But boy, we have fashioned a lot of idols when you think about it in our lives. And in verse 19, he just says this: "No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, 'Half of it I used for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat. I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what's left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood?' He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, 'Is not this thing in my right hand a lie?'" I got a strong impression when I was watching that movie the other day, The Blind, and a guy who Phil Robertson, who had what most people would think was the ideal situation. He was a starting quarterback at a major school, had NFL scouts looking at him, and he decided that wasn't the life for him, which was good and fine. And he came back and he married his high school sweetheart, and that was good and fine. But he got distracted from what he was doing, even to the point where he bought a bar and started running it, and his life just kind of crumbled in. And I think about, we don't have to buy something that is sinful in and of itself to see that there are times where we just kind of lose sight. We don't stop to think. And the purpose of this series of lessons, for me anyway, was stop and think. And not just that, but to realize how good we've got it. I mean, we can stop and think about the mistakes we've made, and we need to do that so we can repent. But, oh, we've got it good. Here we are tonight, surrounded by friends and family, fellow Christians. And we have every right to believe, if we're in a covenant position with God, that we're going to heaven. Not because we deserve it. As a matter of fact, we know we don't. But because He has made an agreement, a covenant, a sacred promise with us: if you will do this, I will do this. And though, as Paul said, it's not that I've already taken hold of it, talking about eternal life, he knew he was saved at that point. He just knew that he could blow it if he wasn't careful. And so we need to stop and think, am I blowing it? And not just for ourselves. We've got to be thinking about others. There's a lot of people depending on us, some that we'll never know, some that are probably generations away from us. But because of somebody that we might influence today, because somebody influenced us at some point, that chain will go down unless we break it. We cannot break the chain of salvation for others, and we cannot, because we don't stop to think, mess up for ourselves. Psalms chapter 1 now in verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He doesn't just read it, he thinks about it, thinks about what it means for his life and his responsibilities. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. We went to a place called Gardner State Park, and it still had water. And so we really enjoyed Gardner State Park. I know some of y'all have been there, and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's beautiful there. And it was made even more beautiful because it's the off-season, and there was hardly a soul there besides Carolyn and I. And there was a spot that we liked to walk. And this year, because we were there earlier at a different time than we normally are, we noticed that one of the giant trees that we'd been walking past was actually a pecan tree. And it was planted just right by the Frio River. We've got a pecan tree in our backyard that's doing great this year. It's beautiful. The squirrels have aggravated me to death. It's so beautiful. And this morning, because I had extra time, I was not working on a Bible class as well. I went for a walk, and as I was coming back, approaching home, about three or four blocks away, I heard a blue jay calling, and I love hearing the cry of the blue jay. And so I looked up to find out where it was, and it was in a tree that was just a couple blocks from our house. And I don't know if it spotted me or if it was just on its way, but it took off and it had a pecan in its mouth. And I know it was my pecan because I see those blue jays up there. I thought they were just enjoying the shade. But our pecan tree, which is filled with pecans this year, maybe 20 feet in diameter. This pecan tree that we saw at Gardner State Park was probably at least 100 feet in diameter. For those of you who are mathematicians, Susan's not here. She's not feeling sick well right now. But 100 feet in diameter, that's about a half an acre. That's over 20,000 square feet. And when we saw it, I mean, this is massive. And the height on it was incredible. And the pecans on it, the squirrels and the birds, you talk about providing something for other people. When you delight in the law of the Lord, you're like a tree planted by streams of water. And you can exceed your expectations because of that, because you have the nourishment from God. And the blessings that will bestow upon you will be plenty to take care of all sorts of other people as well. And so this is one of the reasons why we want to meditate on God's law, on what he has for us, because it's going to help all sorts of people, because you're getting that nourishment, and that nourishment is going to cause you to flourish. But when it comes to God's law, do we have just kind of a casual relationship with it? I'll read it. Or do we really think about it, think about what it means, and then do something about that? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13, we looked at Romans this morning about how we need to understand the present time and wake up. In Ephesians 5:13, it says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I have found myself, by my own fault, on the edge of a cliff on a number of occasions that I was climbing, or a tall tree that I was climbing, and I can tell you that that when you find yourself in a position where you're not sure how you're going to get down, you focus. And you really the caution that takes over you allows you to have a laser-like focus. I think a lot of us don't think it's possible. I can't concentrate on this. Just think about how hard it is to concentrate on a sermon that I'm doing when you're tired, or even when you're not tired. That's okay. But when it comes to not being able to focus on God's Word as we study it, that's dangerous. And so we need to be careful with the Word, and then we need to be careful how we live as we apply that Word. And he starts off that comment by saying, wake up and rise from the dead. There are times in our life where we're as good as dead because we have lost our focus. And so he says, be careful. Again, it comes back to this idea of stopping and thinking about where you're at and what you need to be doing for God. If we don't at some point wake up, here is what Christ says. Revelation chapter 3. By the way, Zach did a great job on Revelation. If you missed that class, you did miss something. But if you were there, you'll, I'm sure, agree with it. But we looked at this. Revelation 3 verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Having a good reputation is good. And we need to have a good reputation in the community. But if that's all it is, if it's just people looking out and seeing on the surface of things, things look okay. If we have a reputation for being alive, but inside we're really not doing anything, we're dead. And so Christ says, wake up and strengthen what remains. The idea is, if we don't think about it now, we're going to have an eternity to think about it. And so get serious now. The reason that we need to pause for a revival in our lives from time to time is because there are times we've just drifted. Easy to do. If you've ever been on a boat on a calm lake, and you think you're just staying in one spot, and then you look up and, well, all of a sudden you're right next to the edge, or you're going in a direction you didn't mean to, then you'll understand sometimes even on calm water there are currents underneath that'll take you in directions you don't want to go. This life for Christ is an intentional life. And so we do need to stop and think about what we're doing so that we are serving him intentionally. He says, if you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you won't know at what time I'll come to you. Now, that used to scare me to death. And now I suppose it scares me more. As far as if I get too far off, no matter how vigilant I am, waking up every so often to try and get back on track, he's going to come at a time I'm not expecting. His point is, stay on track so that whether you're physically awake or physically asleep, spiritually you're awake and you're prepared and you're doing what you need to do. And then he stops at the end of that and he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He says that to every one of the churches, whether they've been doing good or whether they've been doing bad. He stops at the end and he says, those who have an ear, let them hear. The idea is, think about what he's just said, because he's not just talking. He's giving us instruction that'll save our lives and enhance our lives. And then just a couple more verses and we'll close. Let's do three. They're all in Psalms. Psalms chapter 4. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. I really like this. If I'm gonna worry about something, it's usually when the lights are out and I'm lying in bed and I can't go to sleep. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? Wouldn't it be better just to meditate in our hearts, upon our beds, and think about what God wants of us, then you don't have to worry about your physical life coming to a tragic and unnecessary sudden end. God will keep you here for as long as you need to be serving Him. I realize that sinful people can take the lives of righteous men. But I have to tell you this, far from perfect as I am, I don't worry about that. I'm not concerned about going in an untimely fashion, as I am concerned about making sure that I'm ready right now, as ready as I can be with the help and the grace of God. And so instead of lying awake in our bed thinking about all the what-ifs that we all do, why not meditate in our hearts? What can I be doing for God? It's a beautiful thing just to be able to reflect on your life and realize I've fallen short here and ask for forgiveness and then move on. There's nothing like the fresh start God will give you at any moment that you decide that you want to take Him up on His offer. And so as you're lying on your bed, meditate. In Psalms 37, and be still, he says. And then after that it says, Selah. Think about it. Think about what God has just said. Psalms 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. At our family prayer request this year, one of our requests was to be still before the Lord. I have an idea. It came from this very passage. It's so important. We get so frantic. There are things that are happening right now in this world that are not pleasant at all. Sometimes if you're in school, there will be things that you are worried about might happen that they're not pleasant at all. At work, might happen. People in positions of power might be behind the scenes doing things that you don't like. Be still before the Lord. The idea is, settle down, trust in God, and figure out what you need to be doing. And then do it. I realize it's easy to say and hard to do, but it's not hard to understand what we need to be doing, and yet we still fail at it so often. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. I spend way too much time, I suppose, looking at what wicked men are doing in positions of power. I don't think that it's wrong to be thinking about what people are doing so that we can do our part. But once we've done our part, turn it over to God and trust in Him. Be still. He'll take care of it. There's going to come a point where God will take care of them. Hopefully they'll repent so He doesn't have to, but there'll come that point. And so this advice, this command, do not fret. What a beautiful encouragement that is. You don't have to fret. God's never commanded anything that you could not do, and so you don't have to fret. And so if you don't have to fret, why fret? We spend so much of our life doing things we don't have to do because we think we have to do them. It's become a habit. Stop it. I say that to me, but if it slops off onto you, then take heart or take note. Psalms 46, our last passage. That's one of the most beautiful passages within Scripture. Be still and know that I am God. This will give us confidence. He's in charge. The Creator is in charge. The one that we pray to for help knows exactly what we're going through, and He knows the exact solution, and He can take care of that solution in exactly the right way. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We need to make sure we're putting Him in the right place. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then He stops and He says, Selah. Think about it. We've been given everything. We have access to everything. Why not humbly accept the gifts God has given to us, have joy in our lives because of that, and then move confidently through the rest of our lives serving Him, anticipating not only a great reward that we don't enjoy for ourselves, but one that others can share in. And let me just conclude by saying this. We do look, I at least do, with a lot of admiration on men and women of vision who spend time making sure that vision comes through, comes to fruition. I admire the skill and the effort and the stick-to-itiveness and the determination. But when it comes down to the vision we truly need, the only one that will matter in the end is our spiritual vision. Are you right now determined with all your heart to do what you need to be doing to serve God so you can serve Him forever? If so, He'll let you do that. But it's got to be on His terms. Something to think about. Invitation's open. If you have a need to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.